All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310's After News with Amos. About 3 days ago, video clips began surfacing on social media, on Facebook, spread on Instagram, Twitter, that showed a 14-second clip of two white, one male, one female, IMPD officers kicking an African-American suspect while that suspect was lying on the ground. I finally got to see the 14 seconds of video yesterday evening and was a little concerned that, you know, 14 seconds is awful short. Wasn't sure what the context was of the incident. Last night on Wish TV Channel 8, they not only had the 14 seconds of video, but evidently went out to the neighborhood where this incident occurred in early May in the 26th, near 26th and Baltimore on the east side, and talked to residents and secured some more cell phone video that gives a larger picture of what may or may not have happened. Channel 8 aired the report. Obviously, this is radio, so you won't see the video, but here's the audio version of the story that Channel 8 reported about this incident that is now under investigation by the Internal Affairs Department of IMPD.
But first tonight at 10, a story that stirred a lot of debate in our newsroom. This video, posted on our Facebook page, shows IMPD officers repeatedly kicking a man who is on the ground.
The question is, was it proper procedure or excessive force?
Our teammate Bennett Haberle looks at that debate. Bennett.
Well, we got a hold of that video last night and showed it to IMPD. We reached out again today to police and then went to the neighborhood. Some witnesses claim police went too far. But court records state the officers felt they were in danger from a 230-pound suspect who was allegedly high, ignoring commands, and later lunging at officers. Posted on social media, the video starts and stops, or could have been edited. Either way, the suspect, Marcus Jackson, can be seen on the ground when he is kicked by IMPD officers. In another video, you can hear the officers' verbal commands and those of onlookers. Other videos capture the aftermath.
This is bad. This is really bad.
Of neighbors questioning the officers at 25th and Baltimore. That's where police found Jackson laying in the street. Officers were concerned he was high on a drug called wet, growling, and becoming aggressive.
It doesn't matter what the crime is. You don't do stuff like
that. Especially if he's down.
Tamika Banks and her friends used their cell phones to record some, but not all, of Jackson's May 8th arrest.
You know how when they punt a football, that's how they kicked him.
He was overdoing it. As if, I don't even know why he even did that. I mean, it was just terrible how he struck that man down like that.
But not everyone is criticizing the officers. This man doesn't want to be identified, but said Jackson appeared intoxicated and refused to listen. Court records state at one point Jackson rose to his feet and attempted to charge Officer Justin Beaton.
The guy was laying across the street, evidently, and the officer told him to get up. When he got up, he fell against the officer's car. And then they tased him. And then he kept trying to get up, and the officer kept telling him, stay down. When the officer tells you to do something, that's what you're supposed to do.
When he was trying to get up, you can tell the guy was deranged and everything out of his head.
Deborah Nelson says she knows officers need to protect themselves, but...
I think the policeman was out of line and doing it, kicking that man. He was already down.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. If I was acting the way he was acting, then I would expect, you know, to get the fair treatment that they gave him.
This neighbor says he did not see the officers kick Jackson, but police admit the strikes were justified in court documents. Officer Beaton admitted to using foot strikes to keep Jackson on the ground and tasing him multiple times after he says Jackson attempted to stand up. Jackson later admitted to medics he had smoked wet or formaldehyde. With neighbors still upset, one officer can be heard on a video explaining the use of force.
At the beginning, the guy had charged him. He got up and charged the officer.
Well, they don't have proof, and neither do you.
That explanation offers little consolation to neighbors.
Regardless of what he was going off of, they had no business kicking him the way that they did. You know, they was beating the mess out of that man.
Only thing I can say is, the police handled that wrong. That's all I can say.
Jackson was charged with possession of marijuana, public intoxication, and resisting law enforcement. IMPD would not talk to us on camera today, but released this statement saying the IMPD is aware of the video and the Internal Affairs Unit is investigating the incident. We will follow up with IMPD to see what the conclusion of the investigation is. Bennett Haverly, 24-hour News 8.
From the official probable cause affidavit filed by the prosecutor's office and the police in this case, it indicates that here's some more details about the incident. It occurred on May the 8th, around 1:29, when Officer Justin Beaton with the Indianapolis Police Department received a run to East 25th Street in Baltimore on the report of a person down. Passerby had stated that a black male wearing a blue T-shirt appeared to be unconscious laying on the ground. At 1:33, Officer Beaton, who was driving a fully marked police car in full uniform with a badge displayed, arrived and found the suspect, later identified as Marcus Jackson, was lying on his back next to the street. The officer identified himself as a police officer, asked Mr. Jackson if he was okay. Mr. Jackson was unresponsive. The officer then attempted to kneel down next to Jackson to see if he was breathing, at which point Jackson suddenly opened his eyes. Mr. Jackson was sweating profusely, and it was approximately 75 degrees outside. Mr. Jackson had a blank look to him. When Officer Beaton asked him if he was okay, he did not respond. Jackson then became aggressive and started growling like a dog at Officer Beaton. The officer believed from his training and experience that Jackson was high on a drug known as wet or PCP. Officer Beaton immediately became concerned for his safety, having seen the effects of this drug usually does to its users. The officer immediately told Mr. Jackson to roll on his stomach and put his hands to his side, at which point Jackson reached for his left cargo pocket and attempted to roll on his hip as if he was going to stand up. Beaton then used his right foot to kick Mr. Jackson in the buttocks, hip area, to prevent him from standing, while telling Jackson to stay on the ground and roll to his stomach. Mr. Jackson refused and made multiple attempts of standing up, to wit, Beaton used foot strikes to Mr. Jackson's butt and upper arm areas to get Mr. Jackson to lie on the ground. Officer Beaton worried that if Mr. Jackson got on his feet, Officer Beaton would be in great danger due to the fact that not only was he much smaller than Mr. Jackson at approximately 6 foot, 180 pounds. At 1:34, Officer Beaton asked for his backup to hurry to his location, at which point the control operator advised that there was no backup en route. However, she would start units to his location. Mr. Jackson eventually got on his feet underneath himself and attempted to charge at Officer Beaton. At this point, Officer Beaton exerted all other means of controlling Jackson and deployed his taser, striking Jackson in the upper shoulder and upper torso. This temporarily incapacitated Jackson, but after the 5-second cycle, Jackson attempted to remove the taser probes, at which point Beaton cycled the taser for another 5-second cycle. Officer Beaton was forced to cycle his taser multiple times due to the fact that each time the taser cycle would end, Mr. Jackson would try to return to his feet and refuse to comply with Beaton's verbal commands to lie on the ground with his hands to his side. Eventually, the dispatch backup, Officer Gable, arrived to the scene. Officer Gable immediately attempted to gain control his arms, to wit, Jackson concealed them under his torso and attempted to stand in charge at Officer Gable. Officer Gable stated she immediately became scared for her safety as well. Officer Gable is also small in stature, and out of fear for her safety, Officer Gable deployed her taser and struck Mr. Jackson in the upper back temporarily, incapacitating him. Officer Beaton and Officer Gable struggled with Mr. Jackson for approximately 30 seconds after this point, until Officer Gable was able to gain control of Mr. Jackson's left wrist. Officer Beaton dropped his taser and gained control of Mr. Jackson. Now it goes to another page. Right wrist and together, both officers handcuffed Jackson. After being placed in handcuffs, Mr. Jackson made an attempt to stand up. Officer Gable used her left knee across Mr. Jackson's middle back area to keep Jackson on the ground till other officers arrived. Officers noted Jackson was having trouble breathing, so Jackson was rolled on his side and an ambulance was started. Due to the fact Jackson forcefully resisted Officer Beaton's lawful commands and the fact that Mr. Jackson was intoxicated in a public place, due to the point where he put officers nerves and himself in great danger. Officer Beaton placed Mr. Jackson under arrest for resisting law enforcement and public intoxication. Search incident to the arrest, Officer Gable found two bags of green leafy substance in Mr. Jackson's left cargo pocket. Officer Beaton learned that Mr. Jackson had a prior conviction for possession of marijuana outside of Marion County, or out of Marion County. And at that point, the medics came and he was transported to Eskenazi Hospital. What do y'all think? Justified? Not justified? I'm told that this, what do they call this, this wet, I don't know whether you smoke formaldehyde, what do you snort formaldehyde? That's the stuff they bury people in. And I don't know whether it's like PCP or not. Anyway, 239-1310, 239-1310. You may want to comment on that other stuff. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's Afternoons with Amos on a very busy Friday. All right, let's start with Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hello, my name's Jan.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, hi, Jan. Actually, I was calling in regards to the topic. I saw the video about that incident with police officers yesterday, and even though it was just that 15 minutes, I can't really say if it was justified, but from what I gather, that man was being kicked on the ground by two officers at the same time, so I don't understand why, you know, other tactics was not used in order to, if they needed to gain control of that man, why was it such excessive? When I read a news reporting that they said that he was acting as if he was under some sort of drug, it became familiar because my son was attacked by five officers downtown last summer. He's a college student working full-time. He was leaving a nightclub and was attacked. He sustained facial contusions, brain injuries. We obtained a lawyer because the police wanted to, you know, give him several felonies when that it just wasn't justified with how they treated my son. And it became so familiar because they, too, said that my son seemed to act as if he was under some type of PCP or some type of drug substance. Well, my son does not use drugs. Mm-hmm. He was a youth specialist. And Terre Haute, he lost his job because of the pending charges. He's in college, you know, and just totally getting ready to get his whole career messed up because these officers, you know, used excessive force on him that was so unwarranted. So, to my understanding, this is going on a lot within our community, and something just needs to be done about it. We've filed a complaint with the review board, and, you know, they said because the officer said, stop resisting arrest, that complaint was not, you know, followed through. It doesn't, just because they said stop resisting arrest, that does not make it right. It doesn't make it right for them to continue the excessive force that they did on my son. So it's just very familiar, and it seems like officers using the saying, oh, well, that person appeared to be on drugs, it sounds like that's just an excuse for them to continue to use excessive force on our black men in this community.
All right, I appreciate that. I appreciate the call. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310. Back to the phones. And Janet, hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I do sympathize with the previous caller. However, looking at the video, can I say that it was justifiable actions by the police officers? There were two of them. The man could not be restrained, contained, or any of that. So what would the public have them do? What is the what's the alternative? Secondly, you are taught, or you should be taught, not to resist arrest. So to that lady's point, if they said that her son was resisting arrest, that should have been caught on somebody's videotape to show him laying flat down, not giving the officers any reason to abuse him, kind of like it was with Rodney King. The only difference is with the instance with Mr. Jackson and Mr. King, there were two officers with Mr. Jackson. With Mr. King, there were like six or seven.
Mm-hmm.
So What is the alternative? That's my question.
Well, here's
what would the public have the police officers do?
Based upon the video that Channel 8 obtained, and in reading the police department's own description, Mr. Jackson was not placed under arrest until late in the description. In other words, they came up on him. He was lying on the ground. They tried to figure out, okay, why are you lying on the ground? And then he kind of had a startled look. Now, if Mr. Jackson was high, that could provoke a reaction, but they first use the taser to try to put him under control, and I wasn't sure once he was still on the ground. It's hard to resist arrest if you're on the ground and the officer has not grabbed you. And see, that's where I understand where you're coming from, and you've made a point. It's the part where he's on the ground. They've hit him repeatedly with the taser, again, based upon the police department's own description. But then they still had to do foot strikes to keep him under control. And I really want some brass at IMPD to explain in what is called the continuum of force that officers are allowed to do where foot strikes come in that.
That I understand, mm-hmm. And so, I'm in agreement with that. My issue is that I had the exact same situation happen just last weekend. I was driving. I saw a man laying on the ground. I thought he was a bag of trash. As it turned up, it was a man. I called 911 to get the police to come out, mm-hmm. to also send, EMTs to see if he was okay.
Right.
It's just the whole point of what else is there for a police officer to do. Because I believe that there are corrupt law enforcement officers. I know there are. And I know the state that we live in is extremely red, and they, take their liberties as they can. But what's the alternative?
And I agree with you. What disturbed me about the video was I was not seeing the whole thing. The video that I saw was 14 seconds long and showed both officers allegedly kicking Mr. Jackson while he was on the ground. When I read the full description, the description from IMPD admitted that the male officer who was first on the scene admitted striking Mr. Jackson. And that is not shown in any video. So we in terms of the video, I wish whoever was out there with the telephone had shown the whole thing, because then the way that would have put it in the context. If you remember Rodney King, that was a long video.
Yes.
And it showed the full context of what happened to him. And I think in this one, we've got bits and pieces of what happened.
Right, and so that's why there's a public outcry. So here's another question then. So what if they hadn't done anything? What if they let him attack? Now what? Now the police officers are putting themselves in danger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where's the balance?
That's a good question.
I guess that's what I would like for you to be able to ask the brass when you talk to them. I know you will, Amos.
And like I said, I let the Department of Public Safety and IMPD know that we were going to talk about it. I extended an invitation. All they wanted to say is that Internal Affairs is investigating. Now, I'm sure they're listening. So if they want to listen, and if members of law enforcement want to call, the brass at IMPD, they got my number. Retired law enforcement, love to hear from you all. If the lines are jammed, send me an email at praiseindy.com or send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, because I would like to hear from the men and women of law enforcement who are out there and get their perspective. Thank you, Janet. Let me go to Roger. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Angus. You know what I don't understand? They called, the man was down on the ground, and why didn't he go ahead and ask for medical assistance instead of kicking him and shooting him with the taser when he wouldn't wake up?
That's an interesting.
I agree with you 100%, but it's a medical run. I mean, he don't understand. He was asleep or something, you know.
Or high.
Here we go again.
Well, now look at it from the officer's point of view. You roll up, you see a guy laying out on the street. So maybe the first thing you're going to do is check. Okay, is he breathing?
Right.
That's probably what I would do. My first thing is going, hey, are you okay? Are you sleepy? What is there anything? Can I help you? And then at that point, based on their description, he might have been startled.
Right.
You know. And then at that point, and he might have been high. He might have been startled. He might have wondered, hey, man, I was asleep. Let me sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody called, didn't want to go on the air, and told Chris that evidently this thing called, this is what happens when you're a clean living person. You don't know about all this stuff that's out here in the streets. But somebody called and said that wet is someone taking an illegal marijuana cigarette and soaking it in formaldehyde and then lighting it up. Now why that doesn't explode and takes you to the other world, I will never know. Because it would seem to me you put anything in formaldehyde and set a match to it. You know, I thought that something like that would go up in flames.
I would want to put nothing like that in my body, man, unless I'm already cold.
That, you know, you talk about I don't even want to even contemplate what kind of high that is. And if that gentleman was imbibing that kind of substance, my Lord. Good points, my brother. I appreciate it. Let me go to Lisa at 239-1310. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Amos. This is, I had two incidents with police officers where I was beat up in my own home by five different officers. Two officers had their foot in my back and twisted my thing. They claim I was running to the kitchen. They thought I was running to the kitchen to get a knife. And another incident where a lady officer was there, but the male officer slammed me down at the gas station on the ground. And I wasn't even getting locked up at that point. They didn't decide to lock me up until I told them that I was going to report them. And so I did. But my suggestion to individuals that have these incidents, we have to start reporting it at the city county building on the 12th floor. Go and make a report, and even if something is not done right away, the good officers will rise up and the bad officers, it will show that they've been doing this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's my suggestion on that side of it.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you. Let me go to Anthony at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, and it's I've noticed people on that wet stuff. Now, what wet is, it's a liquid form of PCP. Everybody knows PCP drives you to another extreme of superhuman strength. Now, what's this officer supposed to do? Wait until the subject grabs his gun and kills him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a person on PCP is not in their right mind at all. So, I mean, I can see both sides of the coin.
Okay.
Kicking him and all that may be a little bit excessive. But my God, if a 20-something-year-old, 6'3" person, 180 pounds, is trying to attack you off of PCP, you got to do whatever you got to do to get that guy off of you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody want to call in. My baby wasn't wrong. My baby wasn't wrong. You know what your baby doing out here in these streets?
Let me ask a question, because I've never encountered anybody who has been on PCP. Can you tell the symptoms if somebody's been on that?
The police had to kill a guy on Martin Luther King back in the days over by Addicts High School. This guy was butt naked in the street. Now this guy was over 300 pounds, and I know a guy real well. He was high off PCP, and five or six police could not control him. He grabbed a weapon of the police, and they had to kill him.
Mm.
I'm just saying, that stuff is nothing to play with. One thing about it is, they're not in touch with what's going on in reality, with reality. And another thing, Amos, a lot of cities is testing out these cameras that are fitted to be on the police's uniform, either on their uniform or on their hat or something. So every single detail of an arrest can be documented, not only from the police car's perspective, but from the officer's perspective, and I think that's what we need to adopt here in Indianapolis.
So I need to tell the chief he needs to play the lottery and try to hit on the Powerball so he can buy some cameras for his guys and ladies.
I mean, we need to have some, because otherwise it's either, okay, that's the only way we're going to prove innocent or guilt. I mean, really. We need everything on camera. Everybody got cell phones, and you can edit the video to how you want it to look on most cell phones. And that don't show justice for the police side, and it may not show justice for the victim side. I'm just saying.
No, and that's why when I first saw the video yesterday evening for the first time and saw how short it was, I really was suspicious, because it's like, wait a minute, there's no such thing as a 14-second video of a police misconduct.
Exactly. They don't cut out what they want to cut out. They push record, stop, record, stop, yep. Pause, record. I mean, you can play, you can record the parts of it you want to be seen and the parts of it you don't want to be seen. That's why I said it's important that we find the money to have that technology implemented in our police force, not only in the cars, because not all police cars have the camera view as well.
We
need the police to have an actual camera on their body to document exactly what's happening.
And I would love to hear from some of the men and women of law enforcement to see whether, you know, that's something that would not only, you know, help document these things, but help keep them safe, and improve law enforcement. I appreciate the call. Thank you. 239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoon's Namus. We're talking about, video that was, first, shown on our sister station's website, IndieHipHop.com. Channel 8 did a report yesterday at 10 and 11 o'clock, probably repeated in the morning hours, about an incident that occurred back in early May in the 2500 block of Baltimore on the east side of the city. Person down on allegedly high on a PCP-like substance, which is marijuana dipped in formaldehyde. Then I guess you don't smoke it wet, you let it dry and ferment. That's even worse. See, I don't understand this because I'm clean living, but there's folks out here that share the information of the real world. This afternoon's with Amos after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoon's Amos. Back to the phone and David. Hi, David.
Hi, Amos. How you doing? This is sir. Thank you very much for your call. I'm going to be very brief. I just want to comment about wet.
Okay.
I guess that's what they call it here in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
But in Chicago, they call it mint leaf. And what it is actually, it's a derivative from, or spinoff from, angel dust.
Oh,
which
Lord.
Which was a street drug back in the 70s. And what it is, I know one of your callers mentioned formaldehyde, but my understanding is that it's an animal tranquilizer that's dipped in a cigarette, and it's sold on the streets in Chicago for like $10. And strangely enough, it seems like the people that use this drug most are females, and it seemed like they enjoy it more for whatever reason, but it's a very, very dangerous drug, and it alters a person's mind, and it takes you to the extremes. It takes you to the edge. It gives you formidable strength. It puts you in a psychotic mode.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you very strong. It takes several people to hold you down, and you could take a 150-pound person, which seemingly is not much weight or have much strength, but it's the drug that once it gets in your system, it creates that incredible strength that people have. It's psychotic, it's suicidal, and it's also homicidal. It's very dangerous. It's more dangerous than any drug on the street today. And even though we had the guy that died from the illegal drug that he consumed in Center Grove,
yeah,
it is much more dangerous than that.
Oh, no, I remember. I remember angel dust from the 70s.
I know you're from Chicago,
yeah,
and I know you live a clean life. And my life has been cleaned up for 15 years, but I'm telling you, brother, it's very dangerous. And I think that a person who is caught peddling that stuff there should serve a long sentence in prison. And I really appreciate your call, and God bless you, and God bless the 13th family.
All right, I appreciate it. Now, I'm also getting pharmaceutical education on through text at 37890, keyword Avis, that PCP is sometimes called embalming fluid, but it's not formaldehyde, it's just slang. And I remember angel dust. I remember the PCP, and I remember that back in the day, that was dangerous. That folks on angel dust, that they was tripping and dangerous, and thought they was Superman, Batman, you know, and everything all rolled into one. 239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoon's Famous. Let me go to Bishop Luster. Hi, Bishop.
Hey, Abis, how are you today, brother?
I'm fine.
Good. I just wanted to call, and really the last two callers, I just wanted to kind of bear witness to what they said in regard to that particular drug. I lived out in Los Angeles for some years before I moved back here to Indianapolis, and some of the things that I saw personally in reference to that drug, words cannot describe the danger of the drug to the individual who takes the drug, and also to the individuals around them when they decide to flip, as someone said, you know, and they kind of psychotically go off. The ability to stop them, you have to know what you're doing in order to stop them. I've seen people shot several times off the drug, and they still keep coming like they hadn't been touched. It's something new to Indianapolis. It's been around for a minute here in the city. However, it's at a point now where it's becoming more popular here in the city. And our ability to know how to deal with the drug is going to be extremely important.
Let me ask you, Pastor Luster, because I know you've been around the men and women of law enforcement as well as been out in the street. Somebody just sent me an email at praiseindy.com saying, why would the officers be in fear of their lives if Mr. Jackson didn't have a weapon? And before the first officer got out of his car, why didn't he request an ambulance service right off and back up for himself? And do you think that our officers today, because there's a lot of younger, newer officers, have they been properly trained so that they can spot somebody that's on PCP or angel dust? Can you spot it?
In some cases, Amy, I probably could, just simply because, again, you know, I've traveled in my travels, again, living on the West Coast for some years. I've learned to experience people that are on it. In reference to the first part of the question, I think that with the ever-increasing evolution of drugs, just like crime and various other things, that is going to take a continuum also of the training of our police officers here in the city and how to deal with certain things. As police officers, and as you stated, I do come in contact with police officers also because I believe that the police, as well as the people in the community, they make up the community. So therefore, yes, in what I do come in contact with them. So yes, I believe that they're going to need some more advanced training in reference to not only PCP, but other things that Indianapolis has got to get ready to deal with in the days ahead.
Because the other thing is, there have been instances before where individuals have been tasered, and they might have been drinking or on prescription medicine, and there have been a negative reaction to that electric jolt from the taser based upon what they had been drinking or ingesting.
Correct. Once again, I reiterate the fact that I think that there's a continuum of training that needs to be simply because of the advancement of what we're dealing with today, period.
Mm-hmm.
With that, Amos, I would like to say in reference to the law enforcement here that I believe that we have, and this is just me personally, I believe that we have one of the best chiefs here in the city that Indianapolis have seen for a long time, and some of the deputy chiefs. And I believe that whether the officers were negligent in what they did or they feared for their lives, I do believe that with our public safety director, Troy Riggs, I believe that they're going to get to the bottom of the situation and find out what the truth is, and that they will deal with it accordingly.
All right. Appreciate it, Bishop Bishop Horatio Luster. Let me go to Marta. And Marta, I understand you're a retired police officer?
Yes, I am, Amos. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. I just wanted to make this comment, and I don't even know if this is the same guy we're talking about. However, I have had to deal with a person on, you may not notice, know what the drug is, whether it's PCP, angel dust, or wet, but when you are trying to subdue someone that is on some substance other than your alcohol or marijuana,
right,
they are almost animalistic.
Mm-hmm.
I have worked part-time at a club where it took some of the club security and about five officers, and the more, sometimes if you spray them with mace to use the continuum of force, right, or the taser, that only incites whatever's in them, and it's harder to control them. Now, about a month ago, I've been retired since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
About a month ago, I was at Methodist Hospital. I had took my girlfriend's elderly dad,
mm-hmm,
and the officers brought a guy in who was on wet. It was two police officers, two security officers, and a doctor and two nurses. And this guy was tied down to the gurney, and they still could not control him.
Ooh.
They put him in a locked, secure room, and the guy I had at the hospital, he's elderly, I call him Dad. And he was afraid. He was like, and they were moving beds in the hall, even though this guy was in a locked room, because the patients were still in fear of this guy, because he kept trying to raise up off the bed and was shaking the hospital bed, and he was tied down and cuffed to the bed.
Even though he was in the cuffed to the bed and in the locked room that they got
in a locked security room with a Methodist hospital security guy there. Now, this was sometime in the month of May, because my girlfriend is a teacher,
yeah,
and I was taking care of her elderly dad. He has since passed. But I just called her and I said, do you know what date we took Dad to Methodist? Because I don't know if this is the same guy.
Well, let me tell you, this incident occurred on May the 8th at, the incident began at 1:27. In the afternoon, yes, ma'am.
Oh, this is probably the same guy then, because it was around that time that I had to take Dad to the hospital.
Well,
it's an elderly guy.
Took this gentleman to Eskenazi Detention Center.
Okay, no, because this guy was taken to Methodist.
Okay.
But it's almost the same incident because the officers found him on the street and somebody had called, and this guy was sweating profusely. He was uncontrollable, and like I said, it was two police officers, two Methodist security officers, a doctor, and two nurses in the hallway. And when they put him in the locked room, they still had a security, a nurse, and a doctor, and they still couldn't control
him. You don't sound like you need to write this up, send that to Shonda Rhimes so she can put that in Grey's Anatomy next year.
Hey, and get paid.
but let me ask you one other serious question based upon your experience as a police officer. In the continuum of force, Where is kicking a suspect while they're on the ground allowed, or is it allowed?
Well, it is allowed, but to me, that's a long continuum of force, because when they say use any force necessary, if you're on the ground and I've already tased you, and you're still uncontrollable, that taser is only designed to work for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So if that person, like I said, that person has drugs in their system, a taser or CS may just incite what's already in that person's body. So it's like, I didn't even really tase you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then, like you said, that was suspicious to me. That little bit of video.
Yeah.
You can take out and put in on those phones what you want, and if the incident was 14 seconds long,
that ain't an incident.
That's not an incident.
she was doing so well too. Anyway, it must have been the NSA again. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoon's Amos. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more. It's Afternoon's with Amos on a very busy Friday. Back to the phones and Michelle. Hi there.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. I was this guy when I work up the street, so I seen the incident like right after it happened.
Okay.
And everybody calling in, you know, talking about incidents of about people off of wet that ain't got nothing to do with it. The fact of the matter is, even though it was 14 seconds, that man was unarmed on the ground getting kicked by the police.
Let me ask you, Michelle, did you see, how much of it did you see, and did you see the first officer, the male officer, kick the suspect first before the second officer arrived?
Well, when I seen it, it was two officers out there.
Okay.
And it was just mainly the bigger one that was just doing most of the kicking. I mean, just kicking him repeatedly. And then the other one started kicking him in the face. I mean, it just don't make no sense. It don't matter what type of drug nobody is on. It don't matter what nobody do. If you on the ground unarmed, you do not deserve to be treated like that.
Was the gentleman who was on the ground, Mr. Jackson, when you saw...
He had his arms up. He was laying on the ground with both of his arms wide open like I give in, you know, like he wasn't resisting. He had both his arms open and they still was kicking him and everything. I seen it right after it happened.
Did it look like he was trying to get up?
No, he wasn't even trying to get up. He was laying face down on the ground with his arms spread wide open and they were just running up to him, just kicking him, just repeatedly just kicking him for no reason. It was crazy. It don't matter if it was 14 seconds. 14 seconds can tell a lot. And people that's riding by on the streets don't have no reason to edit no tape. They don't even know this man.
I hear your point. I would have liked to have seen more than the 14 seconds. I respect the fact that you were out there and you saw stuff with your own eyes. So I have to respect that. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of the video.
I understand how much more anybody needs to see. Do they need to see this man getting killed? He's already What more does it need to be seen? I don't get it.
I would like to have seen from the point in which the ideal would have been from the point in which the first officer rolled up on him to really see what was going on, or when the second officer rolled up.
Unconscious. They should have called the ambulance right then and there. They shouldn't even have been touching him.
Okay.
Because they didn't know what if he was shot? And you're not supposed to touch a shot victim if they land on the ground. They shouldn't even have touched them. They should have called an ambulance immediately.
Like I said, your eyeball saw it. So I'm not going to fault, somebody that was an eyewitness, to part of the incident. And I appreciate your calling. Thank you. You made some excellent points. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hey, you know that incident happened down in Columbus?
Columbus what?
Indiana.
No.
The man that got killed with his ex-sheriff gun. They said he killed himself. It amazes me, this situation you're talking about is 3 days old. We throw something in it. We're not letting the evidence speak for itself. What if the man was having a seizure? They kicking him like they were on their lunch break. And we got preachers and people calling in, making excuses. Let the evidence speak. I'm tired of these preachers, but it's this free money on the police side. Who's on that man's side?
All right, let me go to Robert. Hi, Robert.
How you doing, Amos? And I hope you let me say what I want.
Well, I'm not too long because I'm running on a time crunch and everybody's trying to call, so make it real short, my brother.
Okay, what I wanted to say, first of all, the minister you had on, I think his name was Lester.
Reverend Lester, yes.
Yes, he said that PCP is something new, and Angel Dust is new to Indianapolis. Those drugs have been in Indianapolis since the late 60s, early 70s, first of all. And about people saying that the person shouldn't be, the policeman took the wrong approach to this victim. Well, if he's on those type of drugs and he's uncontrollable, they're putting their lives at risk. And you got these preachers talking about turning your guns for a profit and everything. This is what people, a citizen like myself, senior citizen like myself, is exposed to those type of people that's in the population. So the only thing I can say, when you have people from the community speaking about gun buyback, just ignore it because it's nothing but a pot of ignorance.
Let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. Anonymous, you got about a minute.
Okay, and if I'm going to make it really quick, I like to be anonymous only because I'm the wife of a police officer for IMPD.
Yes, ma'am.
And what people aren't realizing are, one, when these officers are at work, if the man was laying on the ground, a lady said he should have called medical. No, he shouldn't have because the police officers protect the paramedics first and foremost. So they have to make sure the person is secure enough for the medical to even come. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, she said he kept kicking her repeatedly. She doesn't know what he was saying. He could have been saying, when I get up, I'm going to kill you. When I get up, I'm going to grab your nightstick. My husband has actually been in altercation with someone who was high on drugs. He had been maced. He had been beat with the baton. And he still would not sit down. He actually grabbed my husband's baton from him and was trying to hit him with it. It's a very dangerous job that police officers are working. And everyone is, I mean, I'm not saying the man needed to be kicked. I haven't even seen the video. All I've done was listen to your show today. And it's got me so angry because they don't understand that police officers have to think about their lives and the safety of the situation first and foremost, not if that person is okay because he's resisting arrest. And so now they have to use extra force.
And Anonymous, first of all, I appreciate you calling in because I really would have wanted to have somebody from the department on the program today. Just so that they could have, you know, talk to the community. I'm sure they're listening downtown, but I appreciate, your perspective as well as the perspective of the other young lady that called that's a retired, police officer. Thank you very, very much. 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go to Patricia right quick. You got about a minute.
Hi, Amos.
Hi.
Amos, all drugs are dangerous. I don't know, kids, police officers, everybody's lives are in danger when people are on drugs. So all of these drugs that's going on around in the Indianapolis, this stuff needs to stop. We can't hardly walk, do anything. We fear for our life, everything. So we really do need to do something to stop all of this drug trafficking that's going on in Indianapolis.
I could not agree with you more, my sister. But let me go to David. May keep us back on topic at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Amos, hey, I wanted to talk about that for a second. I wanted to rebut what the young lady who is married to a police officer just said. While I agree that they have a very difficult job, one of the problems that we have with the police force is they will use anything of directed with their authority to justify them doing activities that are not warranted by their authority. And where I'm going is, she just said that it's a dangerous job and they have all these things. They made a choice, a conscious choice to do that. A man on the ground, not affecting anything, can say anything he wants. They may arrest him, they may put cuffs on him, but they don't have a right to beat him. And these things happen constantly, and police use justification saying, oh, well, it's a dangerous job. Well, great, it's a dangerous job. Get another one if you don't want to do it. And the other thing is if this man was not resisting them physically, they had no right or reason to beat him for any reason. That's all I got to say.
And that's why I wish I could have seen more on the video of him, because I did not see, because the police report says he tried to get up repeatedly. I don't see that in any of the video. So I don't know whether that the people taking the video left that out or whether the police report account is not fully accurate. That's why I wish we could have seen a tape that was a little bit longer than what was happening. But good points, my brother. 239-1310. 239-1310. Do I got time for Mike? Mike, you literally have 30 seconds and I'm counting you down like Casey Kasem. Go.
All right. They found Casey Kasem. Hey, Amos, I just want to give a shout out. Kudos to Indianapolis Police Department for a job well done in public safety. I have not seen the video or anything else, but one thing I do know, there's a lot of drugs in this city, and that has been around for a long time. I've seen people on it. I've seen them jump off of buildings from being on that.
All right, that's it. I got to move. because they're pushing me out the door because it's the weekend. Oh, we'll do it all again tomorrow. We'll do it all again Monday when hopefully it'll be warmer because it is awful cold for being the 16th of May. I'm Amos Brown. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday live at 1.